On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Mic's on, moron. That's me.
That Matt. Is a production guy. It's Pete Incaviglia.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Also, we've redone the Patreon feed. Much simpler. Much fewer levels, much easier to check it out. You can hit that if you want at patreon.com/tallcanaudio.
This
ain't no country club. This is LA.
No, that wasn't
all
where I was
going.
All
I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. I might be the only one.
You may be the only one in this room for sure.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports.
Like, I don't know what.
I think we were supposed to talk about some hockey shit. You had like a list of generic.
Oh, I
want to
dance with Solarte.
Solarte.
I want to feel the hate.
With Solarte, who loves me.
Yeah, you know what? There's just some interesting things happening in the world of hockey outside of the playoffs, right? And there's so many things that happen between the end of the season and either draft day or free agency day, right? And it sort of gets overshadowed. And really, I think the
main... By fucking games. Lame.
Yeah, but whatever.
When my team's been out for a month and yours has been out for four.
Exactly. Since New Year's, it sort of comes down to this is really where the next, I don't know, 5 weeks is where the season is sort of...
Steam whistle.
Me whistle.
Twistle.
Where things are sort of cemented. July and August, for the most part, there's 6 weeks into September. Just garbage. Nothing happens.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to come up with show fucking topics.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that to be true.
Oh.
Not at all.
Man, we are on the verge of some CFL greatness. Not from Johnny Manziel.
Okay. Manziel. You keep saying Manziel.
Manzier.
Yeah. The Brozier.
So you had a list of stuff.
Are you expecting me to recite this?
The first
was
Vegas Golden Knights goaltending coach Richard Pryor.
Yep.
David Pryor.
And really, the thing was, it's intriguing.
Yes, I absolutely was hoping you would remember your list.
Okay, but don't ask me to host this show. Don't ask me to start.
I got much of it over here.
Because really, all what you do and really is you just segue between topics to topics, and I bring the interesting stuff.
Oh well, that would be true according to
90% of the listeners.
I was going to give you like 94, 96%.
Okay, sir. I downgraded. Sorry. Well, I appreciate you, Matt. So David Pryor is as you have suggested, the goaltending coach for the Vegas Knights.
Yes.
And I find it intriguing the change he's made, or at least the tweaks he's made in Fleury's game. As a guy who has been such an athletic goalie right throughout all those years.
I miss the gold pads. The okay. Yellow pads.
I think he had something to say about that too. Yep.
Yeah. He didn't. David Pryor?
Yep.
Probably not.
Hey, you know what? Ditch those.
Golden Knights.
Because it's...
It was the Cape Breton.
And he wore them in Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, but only for like his rookie year. But hold on. Is it the Cape Breton?
Screaming Eagles.
Screaming Eagles, not the Golden Eagles. So that's why right. The fuck do you wear the gold pads?
He didn't.
Okay.
I was just letting you go with that. I thought,
you know.
He
did.
What?
Fuck you.
He did not. He wore them in Pittsburgh.
He wore them for Canada.
Okay.
And didn't win gold.
But yeah, ever.
Those
He won gold as an Olympic third string goalie, I believe.
Did he?
Yes. He was behind Luongo and Berdur
in 2010?
In 2010.
You sure it wasn't like Mike Smith?
You know what?
I'm not sure.
When you're checking out his...
No, don't allude back. That's going to cause edit work for me. So we'll get to that some other time.
I think it was Luongo, Berdur, and Fleury. That was your troika of goaltenders.
That would make sense
in 2010
because Pittsburgh had won the last cup,
and he'd come off of the 2009 final where they didn't win.
Yes,
or
they
2008.
Did. That's what I'm saying.
2008, yeah. And they didn't win. 2009, they did.
That's right.
All right. Anyways, wow. I don't know.
So David Pryor has made him a killer.
No, and really, yes. See, you've. Soft sold this right from the beginning.
Bob finally brings a list of topics, and I'm gonna shit all over it this time.
Yeah, is the changes he's made to Fleury's positional play, as opposed to the amount of time that Fleury sort of depended on his physical ability to react, right?
Which is Hasek. Joseph. Type
this is it. I'm gonna bait you, and then make you try and hit the shot. But more importantly, I think where I wanted to go with Pryor was also, prior to this.
Don't say Senators.
No.
Oh.
Holtby's coach.
Ooh.
In Washington.
All right. So George McPhee, probably a fan.
This is it. And so I'm wondering, you as a professional coach, right? Do you just sell out everything to the team that you're with right at this moment?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to me, not only does it become valuable what he can do for Fleury, right, in terms of just the tweaks on the technical side and working with his mental game, what can you tell the rest of the Vegas Shooters about Holtby and his tendencies?
Yeah, that's... Are you suggesting you wouldn't?
No. Clearly I'm not. I'm a wicked whore. I'm just selling my... Who's got the cash right now?
Right.
I'm doing it.
I wonder how much you think it matters. So if I'm the goaltending coach a year or 2 years ago for the Washington Capitals, and I'm working on, you need to get your shoulders a little more square, and your positioning here could be whatever little things they're working on in his game, right, to help him. How much does it... I'm sure there's a little bit, but, you know, you're being sweat by some defenseman and you're just trying to get the shot off. How much does his shoulder positioning, you know, the book on every goalie is go high glove or high blocker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it matters.
I wonder.
It matters when it comes down to movement. And,
right.
And I think that's more of a forward thing, right? The defenseman's always looking to change the angle, right? To get sure. past the block, the defender up top.
Do you think, though?
It's tendencies down low. And in tight is, to me, or on breakaways. Those are the things that it comes down to.
I wonder if there is a big difference in what Holtby's old goaltending coach can tell you versus what the professional scouts, right, that you would have had.
Right. And did Pryor work with him 2 years ago?
Or 6 years ago.
This is it, right? And so you and I have both coached, and we know, you go, okay, I've seen that player, a player X, 100 times. this is the tendency, this is the tendency. But yeah, you don't know what they're doing in between in the last year and a half. I get it. I'm just, to me, it was very interesting, not just for what he's done.
Well, especially because he's been that fucking good out of nowhere. Like, the Pittsburgh let him go.
Right. Oh, they had said, and there was a time in between 2010 and 2015 where they were like,
we need Thomas Greiss.
Yeah, that guy is, yeah.
Like, think of the Thomas Vokoun. How many goalies did they bring in there because they weren't?
Sure.
Right.
And they thought, we can't count on Fleury at clutch time.
Yeah.
That it had gone to that post-2010.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. And so all of a sudden, he becomes this guy that Pens fans pretend, oh, we're on the Fleury bandwagon. We always loved you. No, you didn't, or he'd still be there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You wouldn't have swapped him out.
This revisionist history is kind of.
We love Tristan Jarry just that much more. Or DJ Smith, whoever that guy is.
DJ Smith, former defenseman, current Leafs assistant coach.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it was DJ something.
Yeah.
You also wanted to talk about the Evander Kane contract, which I find titillating.
Hey, you find it titillating because why?
I would not commit to that guy for 7 years.
Seven times seven.
Yeah.
That's fucking atrocious. That is a guy who is a perennial 40-point guy who put up 54 points in his
best season.
Right? And now you're willing to give him seven?
Yeah.
I think next year he makes nine.
Yeah. Well, I don't care too much about that because it's always about the cap.
You're looking for the annual?
Yeah.
I get it. But that's crazy money.
Yes.
And what made it so, A, you look at it and go, that's obscene, bordering on perverse. Right? You look at it and go, what's happening?
You've been looking at my search history.
Yes. No,
I have my own search history.
Those in glass houses, my friend. And I'm wondering, to me, the thing is, what makes that intriguing is, A, they're in the same sort of, to bring this back to an Ottawa perspective, when you trade a large amount for Bobby Ryan.
Right.
You can't afford to let him walk. When you trade a large amount for Matt Duchene, you can't let him walk. You slightly overpay. Yeah.
As the GM, you can't give up on your guy. Right? I did this. Now, to be fair, Sharks didn't give up a ton to get him.
Well, they'll give up another first-round pick beyond what they've already given up if they re-sign him.
Was that one of the conditions?
That is one of the conditions. So there's another first-round pick next year going out for him.
So they've already paid a first, and they're about to pay another.
Yes.
They gave up enough.
Yeah. Okay. And to me, the interesting part is, and you sort of hear the whispers around the league, because clearly I have my ear to the ground. is there saying that, you know, you can't contractually talk, right? But that former Thrasher guys, Dudley and Waddell in Carolina, are saying, yeah, we'd sign that. We would bring him over here as a free agent. We're looking for a bit more of a power forward. If you don't sign him.
So the book there.
We're going to offer that guy max cash.
If I find myself ever in a situation
where you're pushed by Waddell and Dudley,
where I'm thinking I'm going to do whatever Don Waddell is doing, I step back and let Don Waddell do it.
Okay. But what have you seen happen in San Jose when you give that guy 7-7?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, you're just saying, yeah, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but clearly they've done what Don Waddell would do.
Yes.
To me, that's a Don Waddell move right there.
Yes, it is. And I wonder, does it – it probably doesn't because they have room to let Thornton go and whatever – but San Jose is one of those teams rumored to be heavily in on John Tavares. And did I just spend
Tavares
myself
money
out of that? Now you're going to let $8 million in Joe Thornton money walk, presumably, if you're bringing in John Tavares. You still have Logan Couture. You still have Joe Pavelski. You still have Brent Burns, right? I wonder, though, what that we've seen it before. You can't build around wingers, right? And
yeah. Sorry.
Well, just.
We're looking at here. Sorry, you just keep.
I know I'm stuttering a little.
We keep. We look at Matt Duchene, who July 1st, he's a year out of UFA status.
Yeah.
And you've given Evander Kane, the winger with less glowing stats.
Yes.
7 times 7.
Well, I would say then you shouldn't be looking at anything less than 8-2 for Duchene.
Well, this is it. To me, that's you're having to
for
pay.
The criminally insane.
Okay. But so what happens is, right?
Rising tide floats all boats, my man.
Well, you're looking at that's a 60-point guy last year, Matt Duchene, as the center.
Yeah.
Right, who's still
tons of turmoil, right? Traded mid-season and trying to find his way a little.
He went 15 games with no points.
Sure did. That was fun.
But he was well above a point a game in the second half of the season.
Yep.
And a center.
That was less fun.
Yeah, no, okay, but as a center, right? And you go, and I know you are very bullish on center over winger.
For sure.
Right? And the career stats for Duchene over Evander Kane, there's 100 points difference in Duchene's favor.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing out there.
Well, don't you think that – I wonder, right, because a lot of people would tell you that's the going rate in terms of UFA, but he's not quite UFA yet, right? Like, he's still your guy. Would you not at least let him get to the window? You can't be worried.
You're talking about Kane or Duchene?
Kane.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, would he
you
not?
You wouldn't – like, I'd let him get to the window and hopefully he finds out that – he's not worth that, right?
Well,
like,
but I think San Jose is saying, yeah, we're not willing. Wilson's saying, I'm not willing to let that happen.
Man, he's been a problem everywhere he's been. He hasn't produced, like, this is going to be his third long-term stint, right? Like, he did the Atlanta-Winnipeg thing.
See, Winnipeg couldn't wait to get rid of him. Buffalo clearly couldn't wait to part ways with him.
You couldn't have given him 7 times 4?
Like... You mean 4 years at $7 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly that's where the agent's saying, yeah, all right, you can give us this or we'll just wait and you'll get nothing.
I just don't see anyone else except apparently Carolina lining up to give him his $7 million a year.
And really, that's what I'm saying. Doug Wilson.
Yeah.
Is he willing to go, yeah, all right, I'll try that out. I think when you look at those guys – like Kane, if you're bringing him in, you have first crack at resigning him. But to me, if he's saying, hey, Doug, get over the barrel because I'm going to put it in your keister, then you kind of go, hey, Evander, I like what you got going on there, but I like it at about
7 times 5.5.
15% less.
Right. Yeah, man, I didn't like the deal. I don't like it now.
Market setting. When I told you, if you look at 2 years ago, Gaudreau and Marchand, both those guys are making less money than you're paying Evander Kane.
But this is the thing that I don't understand about teams when they deal with their RFAs. RFAs have no leverage. Nobody offer sheets. So you need to be hard on your RFAs, which Calgary was, which Boston was, and it's panned out.
Yep.
They have no options. So I don't know, and I know Kane isn't necessarily I know the comparison you're drawing is on talent, not necessarily contractual status.
Right.
But
I'm taking Gaudreau and Marchand over Kane every day. Yeah.
Face licks and all, man.
Yep. To me, Marchand is a...
He's the best of the three.
He's a guy I want in my lineup big time.
Oh.
No?
I didn't say no. Okay. I said oh.
Okay. I know, but...
I'm pondering it. We'll get back to you at a future date on that.
Well, and if you're thinking Joe Thornton, who showed up at the airport to welcome Kane, is going to continue to help mentor him, unless Joe's going to take $3 million next year... I don't think so.
I think I'm glad Lou has hopped out of Toronto as we segue, we'd be giving his fucking two knee reconstructions $8 million a year headed into next season.
Hey, tell me something just in terms of a topic that wasn't on the docket, right? The whole shift in the New York, the greater New York area towards NCAA guys.
Yeah. Quinn goes to New York at something like $2.5 million for 5 years. That's so, a hell of a commitment to a guy who's never been in the league. Maybe it'll turn out to be.
So you look at Lou as a Providence College guy, I think.
Yeah.
Right? They got Doug Wade as a St. Cloud State guy there. You have Shiro.
In Jersey.
In Jersey. The coach there. Also a college guy.
Shit.
You have, honestly, New York Islanders, the Rangers, all college, all NCAA guys. Right? And it, you the shift to me, it's intriguing, right? When you look at that, all those organizations are going heavy in that direction as well.
Well, I know the Rangers were big in on Montgomery, and he ends up in Dallas.
In Dallas,
and
yeah.
And the word seems to be that the fact that there was so much interest from other teams is why Dallas locked it up quick and went with that. Like, the Hitch experiment, apparently... Didn't work all that well.
You and I think both had them first in the Central.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did for sure.
I absolutely had them in the playoffs. I probably had them. I think I did have them top of the Central. So, you know what? It is fascinating. I don't know much about Quinn certainly, but 5 years at $2.5 million for a guy who's never coached in the NHL before to go into Manhattan. That's a hell of a fucking commitment, man.
I think that's a pay cut for an NCAA football coach, though. He said, I'm not going anywhere for $2.5 million.
That's true.
Forget it.
You're going to have to move that.
I can stay and coach Ole Miss or Auburn for $8 million or whatever those guys make.
See what Ken Austin's up to.
Yeah. Also, before we get on anything else, it's interesting.
Man, such a good segue.
We alluded to the
I'm just clinging to it.
To the Barry Trotz thing, right? And you go, if Trotz doesn't stay in Washington, because he's still a UFA.
Yeah.
Right? And things apparently, right? And I'm not sure how that works.
Well, I wonder at this point.
What's left?
Have they not come, like, has he now maybe said to them, no, we'll talk later. Because for a long time, it was them who wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah. Oh, he can't win. He can't win.
Yeah.
Because really, the only coaching job that's left now with the Rangers job gone is Minnesota. Hey, and if you look at who took over as GM there, Paul Fenton.
Yeah.
Right? Former Nashville guy.
Can I throw something else at you?
Apparently, the two detest each other. So
that's not going
to
work. So,
so that doesn't seem to be an option for old Trotz.
Elliot Friedman on the 31 Thoughts podcast floated the idea of Seattle. A short jaunt from Barry Trotz's hometown. He's got experience with an expansion franchise where you get a little time.
So, sorry, where is he from?
He's from...
Southern BC?
Yes. He said it's a six-hour drive to Seattle. I don't remember
okay,
the name
of the
town. Okay,
well, I know in that article you passed on to me about the 80 Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
Right, that Regina Pats team had Barry Trotz on it. So,
right.
So clearly, I didn't know too much about him prior to that, but...
Right. And so obviously I don't know, but Friedman floated that as a possible. Now the problem is they're not a year away; they're 2 years away. So he has to sit out actual coaching, but he would have lots of time to be involved with
his son
building the management team and you know scouting around, and it may be a long shot because it's 2 years rather than one. But you know Friedman is quickly becoming one of those guys who's a little plugged in. Right,
terrible and, suits. Killer second chin, like
just trying to give the guy a little up. I like Elliot Friedman's second chin.
Hey, but you
stop.
Have a,
okay, so. Carrying on.
I'm just here prompting, baby. That's it,
baby.
99, baby.
So I had a very nice segue about 15 minutes ago into Leafs management land.
Yeah,
that's gotten. A lot of attention, I guess, is what we'll put it over the last little while. Lou Lamoriello is out and down to the Islanders.
Look for Mark Hunter to join him soon.
I wonder. I certainly think that's a possibility, but he is out and unemployed until probably July 15th. until, you know, kind of the draft and the free agency period is
I think
over.
The Hunters own every piece of farmland between Sarnia and London anyways.
Yeah, kind of that whole Strathroy area, yeah. Right? It's all theirs. I think if Mark Hunter ends up with an NHL high-end executive job this summer, kudos to him. If he's back in London, he's just kind of a bitch who's unwilling to work for somebody younger than him. That's sort of how I see that.
That's your Leaf perspective.
Yep.
Okay. See, and I'm interested in, and I brought this topic to you, right, with the whole idea
step
of—
Step to me.
Of, you step to me, bitch, get right up in my grill. With Dubas, Gilman, Lawrence Gilman?
Yep, Lawrence Gilman.
And I think
former Canucks assistant
the other guy is Brandon
Prinham, former helped build the current CBA, and then immediately hired by the Leafs, which was pretty shrewd.
Well, and that's what they're saying, right? Cap guy. There's a bunch of different stuff there.
But we're a year away from a new cap. And a new set of rules.
No. But I'm just to my question to you was, and really it's a question, and I'm not.
How do you get your hair so great?
Yeah. 2 minutes for looking so good, baby. It's a lot of babies in this show. Am I right with that?
Baby. Yes. on the grind, baby. Yeah. All the time, baby.
Where's the hockey guys?
And that is a question that Steve Simmons and Dave Festchuk are asking.
God, that puts me in real bitchy company right there.
No, that's kind of been the thing, right? Is Dubas as a 32-year-old general manager in the National Hockey League, people seem to forget that he was a former agent, has been a general manager at both the OHL and AHL levels. I think you're probably still going to see somebody else get hired, a graybeard, right, to come in and...
Because there is no cap on front office.
That's right. And, like, if you can believe it, Cliff Fletcher is still employed in the front
and
office.
And so is Jacques Lemaire, I see.
Yeah. And no one's seen him since the day he was hired. I'm not sure what he does.
Special assistant. That's what it says.
I could be a special assistant.
Yeah. And who? Somebody else. I was looking through the...
It's probably still Brian Burke.
No, the Leaf front office just this afternoon. And honestly, there's a couple names on there. So, yeah, Cliff Fletcher was on there.
Yeah.
Jacques Lemaire, but I wonder, to me, this is, does this echo at all? And really I'm asking in a vacuum, leave all of their biases on the, does this not smack a bit of Arizona and a bit of Florida for you?
A little bit of Arizona, not so much Florida, because that was a civil war happening internally, yeah.
No,
Shanahan has stated outright, no, we're going this way. So there is no – now we're going to find out real.
Okay, all right, but I'm merely talking about the sort of – if there just is too much emphasis on analytics and data and
– Yeah, we're about to find out. Like, I don't know. It's pretty clear – like all the uproar about when Shanahan hired him and, oh my God, that means Lou's going to leave. And that means this was always the plan. 3 years ago, they said, this is what we're doing. Even Lou said, if he's not ready in 3 years, it'll be his fault. So there should be no surprise here.
Yeah, that's just Lou talking shit though.
Okay. So Lou's out.
Yep.
We're about to find out. I understand this is a risk. I understand that this has only really been done once before and it hasn't been successful. But I'm a guy who loves a team that hasn't won shit in 50 years. I'm probably ready to try something new.
Are you not somebody, though, who'd say, as somebody who's looking for something new, you're going, but look what that team has done. They've taken us to this. I understand you want to chart a new direction,
right.
But does it have to be 180?
I just don't think it is. That's all.
Okay.
If you look at the players that Lou has brought in since he's been here, because everyone wants to talk about that, it's Ron Hainsey, it's Patrick Marleau. They're very traditional moves. One has worked out very well. One has been, you know, all right. He's re-signed Roman Polak. He's like, it's all very safe, traditional. This is what hockey teams do, is bring in old vets with.
So there's also the line of thinking that says that what you have now has been overseen, yes, by Lou, but Mark Hunter and Tom Bergman, right? As
Bergman a bit. Mark Hunter, it's probably too soon to say. He's got this reputation of being a draft guru. We haven't seen it yet. Like, all of the – there are no forwards playing on the Leafs this past season that aside from Mitch Marner, who he fought for over Noah Hanifin, and that's fine. Everyone wants to give him credit for that. Sure. But we were talking.
Although you could use a Noah Hanifin.
We could use a Noah Hanifin. We could use a Zach Werenski. Those were the three names being kicked around. And so he stuck to that. If we'd ended up with Werenski,
we'll give you Cody
Ceci
for Mitch Marner.
Done. Talk to fucking.
We'll talk to Dubas. How about that?
I wouldn't. Talk to Cece's mom on Twitter.
Cece's mom has got it going on.
Yeah, exactly. No, she doesn't.
No,
so
I don't know. I haven't seen
on her. Twitter. That's it. You know what? There's just not enough time yet for like in that instance, you're talking about drafting Marner or Werenski or Hanifin. None of them yet have established themselves to be superstars. None of them yet have established themselves to be busts. Probably too soon to.
Yeah, I think Werenski was right there in a.
Oh, yeah.
The rookie of the year talk in a bumper crop.
Well, and again, this year, there's tons of talk that he and Hanifin were the best pair in the NHL. Or no, sorry.
Wow, Hanifin. I was going to say.
No. Him and Seth Jones, best pair in the NHL, right? Yeah. So there's lots of room
Darnell
for talk
Nurse
there.
Or Seth Jones? Who are you taking?
Oh, my God.
All right.
I just don't think we know yet whether Mark Hunter has been terrible or awesome or just kind of what anybody – like he oversaw the Austin Matthews draft.
Yeah, okay.
He was probably going to draft Austin Matthews. Yeah. Most people would have.
That's right? That's like giving kudos to the Buffalo staff who are going to take Dahlin this year. Good for you, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's shrewd drafting right there.
Everybody wants to talk about Andreas Johnsson in Leafland. Right about
I
that's
don't.
A seventh round pick. Yeah, the year before Mark Hunter got here. That's a 2014 pick. Like, we just don't know yet what Mark Hunter's guys are going to turn out to be.
And, okay.
And over the last couple of years, you can see a bit of a Lou influence. The year that it was Dubas and Hunter together, there was kind of a heavy tilt towards skill. And the last two or three years with Lou, it's been 6'7" right-handed defenseman, you know.
All right. Well, I'm interested.
Olli Rassinen, and he's about to sign in the – or has signed in the KHL for next year.
I'm just interested in what that front office looks like.
So do I.
The decision makers, right? And I think it will be super interesting to see how this carries forward, right, at a super crucial time
what I can
for
see
the Maple
right,
Leafs.
What I can see right now is Leaf fans that are way too hard on both sides and on Hunter. Guy didn't do a fucking thing for us. His draft record is spotty at best. And I'm like, he's a draft guru. You can't let it. We don't know yet. We don't know. Yeah. And so at this point, we'll see. And Dubas, as your point, you know, in terms of it being a super crucial summer, this is the time to do it. If you're about to hang it all on Dubas, then he has to be the guy who negotiates with Nylander or Marner.
Well, but you're bringing in, you've got a cap guy. You've got a negotiator in Gilman.
Brendan Prinham is the guy who designed the CBA.
Yeah, great. And you have this negotiator in Gilman who's a lawyer by trade and a negotiator. And you have a young Dubas with his...
But like people forget Lou was driven out of New Jersey and he left that team in cap hell. Remember they had botched the Kovalchuk deal and had to give up a first-round pick.
But what Lou did in New Jersey was what he did in Toronto, but just before that, right? Was he finds ways to sink guys in...
Yes, loophole Lou, but was that...
In the Meadowlands,
I wonder,
down with Jimmy Hoffa. I have no idea what's happening with some
Brendan
of those contracts.
Brendan Prinham isn't the guy who pointed out the loopholes to Lou, and Lou was the guy who tore it down. Lou did the heartless bullshit that no one wants... that he designed Robita Island and then sent Greening and Cowan and Lupul and
McCulloch and whatever else you got.
You're all gone, man. And tore it heartlessly like a mafia don.
Yep.
To shreds and let you.
How many cups did they win in New Jersey?
Under Lou?
Yep. Three?
Is it two or three?
Yeah, I want
95. They won in 2000 against New Jersey and then again in 03. So, yeah, three cups.
I think that's pretty good.
All of them before the cap.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, whatever you've done. Oh, yeah.
Yep. But different world, right?
And
so I think what he did, he also made the FNUF deal, which was great for us.
For sure.
So he did the teardown perfectly. And then it was time, as you could start to see him doing the Hainsey thing and the Marlowe thing and the Polak thing. Okay. Thank you.
This year's the deal for the Marlowe thing. This will be make or break.
That's right.
Year two of that contract, what does Patrice do?
Yeah. So to me, I think Lou did his job. And
I don't agree. I don't disagree. Sorry.
Okay. I'm used to hearing the first. Yeah.
Well, because really it was you either keep Lou and Mark Hunter and let Dubas go.
There was, all this talk of could you not have just status quo for another – there was no way of – if Lou stayed, Dubas was gone.
Dubas was gone. I get that because Colorado was knocking last year, right?
Yeah. And if Hunter was gone – or if Hunter was moved in, then Dubas was – there was no way of doing this again for another year. So, yeah. And to me, if you're about to give it all to Kyle, then Kyle's got to be the one who makes these deals and sinks or swims.
And I'm giddy. I'm pinching my nipple.
Oh, it's true. He is.
I'm thinking this is going down not great for Toronto. I think you've taken the full cap off as opposed to just sort of letting some of that pressure off.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You could be right, man. And you're right. For better or worse, for us Leaf fans, it's going to be fucking interesting.
Well, and it's such a huge time with everything that's happening. And don't think that Evander Kane signing just has implications for Ottawa. With Stone and Duchesne, you can kiss goodbye to Bozak and Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, yeah,
and
we were doing that anyway.
I know, but honestly, those guys are like, psh, psh, look at that guy making that money.
Yeah.
How about me? Check me out.
JVR, it's, of course, Evander Kane in his fucking sleep, right? And he's
for
probably
sure.
About to do it in Dallas or I wonder about Edmonton even, right? He can't keep up with McDavid, but on a power play.
All right, but hey, you've made the great segue as the true host that you are. Phil Kessel.
Right. How'd I forget Phil? You know, I love you, Phil.
Fat, filthy fucking Phil Kessel.
See, different feelings on each side of the table here for Phil.
Okay, but, you know, Mark Madden, is that his name?
Yep.
Pittsburgh radio host.
Yep.
Echoed again in the Pittsburgh Gazette by some other guy who I've never met.
That other dude.
Yep. Who are all saying, right, Phil Kessel? Maybe done in Pittsburgh.
You mean after a couple of point per game playoff performances?
Not this year.
No.
Okay, but 92 points this year.
Yeah.
Did you realize that?
I actually didn't.
92 points this year. Like, to me, he's gone to Pittsburgh, and in 3 years, he's killed it. Won two cups.
Yep.
And in the year that he didn't win a cup, scored 92 points.
Took the cup back to Toronto, ate some hot dogs out of it.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Good for you.
Love Phil so much, man.
And so to me, if he is gone, I'm asking you right now.
Would I take him back? Yes. Okay. We're still paying him. Why not? Yeah.
Okay. And that's really the key, right? You're paying 1.5, 1.2. What are you paying?
I thought it might be 2 million.
No, it's less than that.
Then it's 1.2.
I think 6.8 is the cap hit. Whoever takes him on.
Okay.
Is 6.8 for four
then
more
it's
years.
It's 1.2 from us.
Okay. I'm wondering if you look at Chiarelli saying, we're going to flip that number 10 pick or 9, whatever they're at.
I like that.
Eh? But whatever you want to think about Phil Kessel is, that guy's bringing speed on the
points
wing.
Points and points and points and points.
And speed on the wing. Like, whatever he does, you got him. He turns 31 in October, I think, or like he's just 30 now.
Yeah.
Four more years, 6.8.
It does sound like an Edmonton thing to do to trade away a top 10 pick.
Well, so to me, you're looking at Calgary.
Draft it and ruin
Calgary
it.
Needing something on the wings.
Calgary to me is a really interesting one.
And Arizona with Rick Tocchet.
No, they can't afford that.
They can afford it.
Well, no, they can't. They have cap space. They can't afford it.
Yeah, okay,
it.
There you go.
How about, did you see, I was reading about something else earlier this week. How many goals do you think Max Domi got this year?
12.
9.
Okay.
4 empty netters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, not the point, but...
But really, the thing was, it was the cap space and Tocchet, former assistant coach, who was able to talk Phil's language, right, as an assistant in Pittsburgh up until this year.
Yeah.
Right? Can you interpret for Phil?
Fatty foods and sniping goals, man.
Well, I think Rick Tocchet, I think, is
I love 50% of that.
Yeah.
I'm so capable.
Yes. I'm wondering... Is the ninth or tenth or is that first? Is that Edmonton first enough to take that on?
No,
you need, if you're Pittsburgh, you need more.
Yep. Well, unless there's cap implications, because there's a lot of talk that wouldn't Pittsburgh love to get John Tavares? Can you fucking imagine?
Yeah, well, who wouldn't love to get John Tavares?
I understand, but Pittsburgh and Chicago constantly in cap hell just seem to still always do whatever the fuck they feel like and figure it out later, right? Like Hossa. He's retired this week. I thought you retired last year. What are you?
Yeah.
More skin problems? Got a little dandruff this year? What's up, man?
Yeah. I'm wondering what, because Pittsburgh's saying, yeah, we just want to get out from under that $7 million.
Is Pittsburgh saying that, or are those two Pittsburgh reporters saying that?
Yeah, okay. No, you're right. Yeah. I haven't had Jim Rutherford tell me personally. I have had Phil Kessel say, I'd be okay leaving.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Phil said, I'm all right. If they want to trade me, I'm all right with leaving.
With whatever.
Yeah. Am I going to get paid?
Yeah.
$8 million? Good. I'll go wherever. But he has a modified.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I think Phil is probably a good fit in Edmonton. I wonder if he, in his modified no trade, would go back to Canada anywhere.
Man.
He took a shit kicking.
Would you not be, if somebody said to me, hey, we're going to put you on McDavid's wing.
I get it.
Would you not be interested? Hey, four years, man.
The Edmonton
$8 million.
The worst fucking shit heap.
Right? I agree.
Edmonton media, Western correspondents, it's all just trash, man.
Purple turnip. To me, that's very intriguing. Where, honestly, I shat on that guy for a pile of years in Toronto.
He'd look good beside Matt Duchene.
Easy now. But I think in the 3 years he's been in Pittsburgh, he's flipped his cock out at the media and said, whatever, 2 cups, and in the year I didn't win, 92 points. Now, there's some talk that his postseason lack of success, which was 8 points in 12 games, I'm not sure that's worth shitting on either.
Right.
Is that he's at 692 games. I'm surprised. Phil, in the last 8 years, has played every game.
Yeah. Well, and that's
like, every game in the last 8 years.
Well, I knew that.
Okay, I didn't. And I'm sure there's people out there listening who going,
I'm sure you're right.
Look at that guy.
Because of the reputation he's got of being soft and being fat and out of shape. And whatever. Okay, but just keeps playing and putting up fucking
right,
points.
But what they're saying is that...
If he played harder.
And, okay, but wait. And that maybe he was slightly dinged up come the end of the season. And instead of taking games off, he's saying, hey, 692 straight games.
Right.
I'm not taking a game off just to rest. I have Iron Man streak. It's more lead. I'm almost positive. There's a soft metal for you.
I am gluten man. Yeah, man.
Gelatinous man, I think, is where you're going with that.
It all works.
Yeah.
Love Phil. And I will buy a jersey of wherever he starts next
season. Ottawa Senators.
I will not buy 30 of 31 jerseys.
There you go.
Anything else on the hockey hot stove?
No, man, but I loved, see, to me, this is just
kick it around.
We could just do it and whatever.
Doing it well. Sorry, that's something else.
Yeah, no.
Doing it poorly.
Yeah,
doing it. Unenthusiastically.
No, enthusiastically, just not well. I'm loving this. I'm sorry about you, but I'm loving this.
Follow us on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Support the show, all new shit, at Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. That's it, man.
Peace!
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.